In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Today, and throughout the Paschal season, we hear the readings from the books of Acts. And it's as if to say that the Lord is risen, and here's the results of what happens. The faith spreads, the apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we've been reading every Sunday from the Acts of the Holy Apostles. And in our modern time, in many different churches, including churches that I used to be a part of, there was an idealization of the early church. In other words, it was presented as something pristine and uncorrupted and unchanged. And the church, the infant church, during the time of the apostles was seen as, it was almost as though there were no problems, that it would be paradise if we could simply go back and be a part or reenact this early church community. But that, of course, is idealistic, and it is a sanitizing of the actual story of how the gospel spreads. Now, there are passages that make it sound like a hippie commune. For instance, you know, they sold all they had and they lived together and they distributed all the needs to the poor. So there is that aspect of it. But we hear in this week's epistle that there is murmuring and complaints in amongst the Christians, in particularly the Hebrew Jewish Christians. The ones who speak Hebrew are complaining against the Greek-speaking, also Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, that for some reason they're not getting any of the distribution, and we don't know what it is. It may be food, it may be money, but that somehow they're missing out on this distribution. And of course, this creates murmuring and complaints. And then we have this situation when we have the apostles, whose task is to preach and to teach and to spread the word of the gospel that they've been given. And the murmuring comes to them as if to say, hey, come on, you 12 apostles, you 11, you 12, come. You need to take care of this. You need to distribute this stuff and take care of it. Make sure everything is fair and equitable. And the apostles, hearing this, say, wait a minute. I think we should pick somebody amongst the people. So working with the people of God, the people themselves brought forth seven individuals that were said to be full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. And they were nominated to be the ones who would help with this issue with distribution. But we know also that many of them go on later and also end up preaching the gospel. This is an icon of conciliarity. That it isn't the apostles who say, number one, that they'll take care of it. They don't run and take care of everything because their calling, their vocation is to preach and teach the word of God, not to serve tables. That's what today's scripture says. Beyond that, they had the wisdom to invite the people to the people themselves, the congregation, to nominate, to look at the talents and the skills and the spirituality of the people that surrounded them, and to nominate them to serve and put them before the apostles so that they could have hands laid on them, so that they could be prayed, but ultimately for the service of the church. And there we know, this is a primitive form of the diaconate. The word deacon really just means to serve. And even the word using, when the apostles use when they're talking about preaching the word, is really serving the word. They're serving it to people. So all Christians are really called to this service, but it isn't simply the apostles or the bishops or the clergy that are called to preach the word, but they are specifically called to preach the word, and they're most definitely not called to serve the tables. And what that ultimately requires, though, is that we get back to a conciliar idea about how churches and a about how the faith should be run. It has often been said in our past years that I should possibly figure out people's talents, that I should go around and interview people, or that we should have a class series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that I would specifically find the talents of individuals and put them in various situations so that they could serve. In today's gospel, that comes actually from the congregation. The congregation looks at its own people, and it brings them forth and brings them to serve. Now, these deacons served in the early church, and we don't know that it was a liturgical function. But the fact is there's two more points I want to make. I'm a little disheveled. One point is this. This happened in the context of the mess that was the early church. This ministry that eventually becomes a liturgical ministry and eventually becomes what it is today, the diaconate in Christ, starts because of the need and the brokenness and the frustration of the Christian people. So we also find ourselves in a frustrated, broken time. And we also find ourselves murmuring. I think I was just murmuring last night and this morning about something. We also find ourselves murmuring. But on the flip side of this is that every time that the church encounters an obstacle, something that seems like it would destroy it, that would take it out, that would impede it, God has a way of not only using the people to fix the issues, but also in the end of today's epistle, we heard that as a result of all this, that the church grew, that the numbers were added amongst the disciples, that even the Jewish priests themselves were converting because of these things. That's the one point. The second point is that often I feel that we have moved away from conciliarity. Of course, this is very strange to live stream a service and to do these sort of things and to have a choir and a priest serve while the people are at home or not together and hear the priest is talking about conciliarity. But conciliarity to me means this primary thing. There is nothing preventing you from being a Christian and living a Christian life. There is nothing stopping you from serving the poor. There is nothing stopping you from worshiping and praying at home and deepening your faith through reading, fasting, prayer. But in today's epistle specifically, distributing to the widows, focusing on those people and the widows of Jesus' time or the time of the apostles were people who could easily be destitute, who didn't have family members to take care of them, or people who cared or checked in on them. That these people would be fed by the community of the church, that they may be actually given money, that they would be helped, but that the people of God themselves would look after those in the community who had the most needs and serve them. There is nothing preventing us from fulfilling that side of the ministry as each one of us, as we're staying home or whether we're serving in the choir at church, no matter where we are, there's nothing preventing us from enacting that sort of diaconate, that sort of service. And as a matter of fact, as a final point, I'll say that there has been, over time, an emphasis on the diaconate, the liturgical function. But where the emphasis of our time should be more than anywhere else is where the rubber hits the road for each individual Christian. How each individual Christian is a deacon in the sense that they are called to not only serve the community, but are called to be emissaries and people who serve the wider community. How serve? Again, by helping those who are weak, by helping those who are in need, by reaching out, and ultimately by looking to our brethren in church or outside of church and looking for ways where we can use the gifts, the talents, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that have been put within us. All of these things are wrapped in the mystery of the early church and the mystery of how Christians deal with frustration and devastation. So in our frustrating, very frustrating time of exile from church and strange things with the community and everything else, let us remember there is nothing that prevents us from being Christian, and that no matter who we are called to serve the community, regardless of whether or not we are exiled from attending church on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.